Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I am the lead Spurs writer over at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio on Fox29SanAntonio.com. Your San Antonio Spurs still have a few more days until their road trip. Sorry, it's always been a tongue twister for me. Resumes this coming Friday versus a team that should have everybody tuning into their TV sets, the Toronto Raptors. That's right, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, DeMar DeRozan making his first trip back to Canada should make for a great game. But that's down the road at the end of the week. But it's time to, again, look back at the first half, or more than the first half of the season. And we're going to be talking about that today. Basically, what has stood out or what has surprised you from the first, leg of the regular season? Let's face it, they're well more than into a half of their season already. And then to close out the show, we're going to be talking about Derek White, specifically whether or not we're hyping him up too much in just his second season in silver and black. To do that and more, I am joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs.
Well, it's always great to be on the show. You know me, I'm a regular guest.
That you are. Hey, did you like the All-Star game?
It was an exhibition game, and it was exciting, so it was okay.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than in years past. This one was actually watchable, Jeff.
Yeah, it was. LaMarcus Aldridge, the lone Spur and in Charlotte, didn't play too much. 10 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds. Not really needed. And personally, Joe, I'm kind of glad he sat on the bench more than playing, Joe.
Oh, I'm sure Pop was ecstatic about that. And he probably told him, I only want you playing an extended amount of minutes. Because, I mean, come on. If he gets hurt, this thing is over. You know, so I can understand. I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, well, so LaMarcus Aldridge, he represented San Antonio well. He was participating in many activities. There were a lot of photographs of him enjoying his time. And even Lonnie Walker went out to Charlotte to show his support for LMA. But that aside, Joe, let's go and talk about the first half of the season. Look, the first half of the season, ups and downs, and it's been a roller coaster. It's been erratic. They rattle off 4 wins in a row, and then they drop 4 straight on the road. Their road record is atrocious, but their home record is great. Defense is up, defense is high. Basically, it's been erratic. But let's try to paint a silver lining in this, and I'll start us off first. You know, when I look back at the first half, or more than half of the season, what surprises me or what is standing out for me is DeMar DeRozan and his ability to be a facilitator. Coming into his new team with San Antonio during the offseason trade, everybody knew that he was simply a scorer, that this guy was a mid-range king. He can light up the bucket. He can light up the stat sheet, pour points on the scoreboard. But I'm actually pleasantly surprised that he's been more of a facilitator. Now, I get it. Maybe in the last few games, there's been more turnovers and assists. But all in all, for him to take that lead, to get other teammates involved is great. Look, for the season, he leads the team in assists in 36 games so far. My goodness. So not only can he put up points, Joe, he's getting people involved. He's getting teammates touches. And I think that goes a long way, Joe.
It does go a long way. You know, we were missing that as far as when the fake number two was on the court. It just seemed like it was all for him. You know, didn't really seem to look for his teammates, look for his shot, look for the iso play. And that's how he played his style of basketball. And it worked for him and it worked for us.
Yeah.
But if you're really going to want to go and compete and go far in this league, you need to involve your teammates. And I think that's one of the great aspects of DeMar DeRozan's game that I really respect.
Yeah, heading into San Antonio in his last season with Toronto, that was one of the things that he focused on. That was an aspect of his game he wanted to expand. And you started seeing the beginnings of that in his final season as a Raptor. But this season, as mentioned, he leads the team 36 games in assists. He dished out a career-high 14 assists back on October 22nd against the Lakers in Los Angeles. As mentioned, he leads the team in assists. So, you know, yes, say what you will about maybe his recent shooting woes, but he's still posting high numbers when it comes to assists, even when he is slumping. Joe, the Spurs need that, and we'll talk about Derek White in a while, but with the, without a true point guard, somebody has to facilitate it, and he's been running the point at times because of the injury situation at the point guard spot for San Antonio. So, Joe, not only does it help him expand his game, it also helps the team, Joe.
Yeah, that it does. You know, and at this juncture of the season, even coming into this season, you know, Popovich knew we needed all the help we could get. We're going to be thin at the guard spot. And, you know, it's a pleasant surprise to see him filling in this nicely. I must say I was surprised about it. And I just, you know, I'm going to roll with it. I can't complain and bearing any other injuries, you know, because I'm lighting my candles. I'm lighting my Spurs candles every time we have a game. The last thing we want is to have an injury. I don't care if they lose. I just don't want no one to get hurt.
Well, through 53 games played for DeMar DeRozan, he's averaging 6.2 assists. Again, yeah, that's great. That's phenomenal. And in the last game before the All-Star break, he dished out 5 assists versus the Grizzlies, I believe it was. But or 5 or 6 assists. The point is that he's getting his teammates involved. He's doing his best bang-up job he can to band-aid the point guard spot. Let's face it, he's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. But he's been thrust into that position because of the recent injury to Derek White. We all know about DeJounte Murray. So kudos to him. Pleasantly surprised with that aspect of DeMar DeRozan's game from the first half of the season. Let's hopefully he continues on in the stretch run. Joe, when you look back before the All-Star break, what has surprised you?
And what do you mean by surprise? You're talking about who I think is going to be a most improved player or a pleasant surprise for the first half?
Is there somebody? Yeah. Is there somebody or someone?
Because you know where I'm going with this. And you know, I know you're going to make fun of me. And I'm just waiting for you to give me a hard time.
Let me guess. Is it rhymes with Bryn Forbes?
Yeah, it's going to be Bryn Forbes.
All right, go for it. Tell me why he's been your surprise player from the first half.
He's been my surprise player because I didn't expect much from him coming into this season. Let's be honest, seeing how he kind of crapped the bed last season, you know, he really didn't play all that well. He was a very streaky shooter. He had his moments, but it was very inconsistent. So I expected more of the same this season. But he came in and he shut all the naysayers up, including myself, because he's just been playing outstanding basketball. I mean, yes, he's a liability, I understand, on the defensive end. You know, he's not the second coming of a Tony Parker, but he's doing a decent job. He's able to put up double digits almost every single night. He's contributing to the team. He's been a solid shooting guard, and you can't really complain about that because we need all the help we can get, especially with DeJounte Murray being out, us losing a lot of our defense this season. We need something, and I think that he's filled in nicely. I can't really say too many bad things about Bryn Forbes moving forward. You know, nothing but praise for him. Yes, we wish he could grow a couple of inches, but let's be honest, that's not going to happen. You know, but for what he's able to do and what he can give to the team night in and night out, you got to tip your hat to him and say, good job, Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of his previous games before the break. It was a game versus New Orleans. He put up a double-figure scoring. Game against, I believe it was Sacramento. You know, again, you know, he's just lighting it up. He's just putting double figures. But here's what gets me, though, Joe, is you mentioned about his lack of size, but he's making it up for spreading the floor when it comes to his three-point shooting this season.
Yeah, he does. You know, he does spread the floor because you gotta give him respect because he can knock down his shots, whether it be an open three or he's in transition and he can pull up for a jump shot. He can go ahead and knock down those shots. So the other teams are going to have to give him his respect and have a defender come out on him. The only aspect of the game we all know where he gets cooked under the rim. He gets cooked in transition defense. You know, when he's trying to go under a screen, he's too small to be able to beat his man or break it. And you know, he kind of gets out of position. And then what happens is that he gets the mismatch. The larger player shoots right over him or goes straight to the rim for an easy layup or a dunk. And those are the aspects that you got to live with when you're a Bryn Forbes fan. But as I stated, the good that he does for the team, it's kind of a wash in a way. So all I'm going to say is good job to Bryn Forbes. Like, like I said, I can't really nitpick him because he's been solid.
Yeah, you were riding his, riding him pretty hard in the first half of the season. You were not expecting a lot from Forbes. So to see you come around, kudos to you. But, you know, I want to dig deeper into what he's been doing before the break. As mentioned, against New Orleans, he scored 12 points. He followed that up at Sacramento to start the Rodeo Road Trip with 12 points. And then in the game where they got a wallop versus Golden State, 10 points, at Portland, he put in 11 points. So he's getting his double figures scoring, and that's good. You know, he's hitting his three-point shots, and that's good. So, yeah, look, he's not going to be the next coming of the Defensive Player of the Year for this season. He's not going to do that. He's not the next lockdown defender like a Danny Green or Kawhi Leonard or anybody like that. But he's given his best, and, you know, he's put in a position – where he's asked to do something that is not his strong suit. And you see him during the games, he's trying his best. And when I say by trying the best, you look what he did against the New Orleans back on November 3rd. He had a career best 4 steals. So that's great. You know, so the effort is there. It's not consistent. It's erratic. And, you really can't fault him. You know, as you mentioned, he can't grow any bigger, any taller. This is not his strength, but he is giving the effort. So I give him that. All right. So those are our surprises for the first half of the Spurs season. We get back, we're going to talk about Derek White and maybe a topic you may not want us to talk about. So hang on tight and we'll be right back. We are back and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, before we talk about Derek White, I want to briefly touch a little bit more on your pick, Bryn Forbes. You know, he leads San Antonio with three-pointers made on the season, and it's not Bertans, it's actually Forbes.
I know, and that's what pains me, you know, because I wanted so badly to be right about Bryn Forbes, and he proved me wrong. And it's painful to eat crow and see what he's been able to do. So when you're looking,
you should be loving to eat this kind of crow, though.
No, I do. You know, I do. But the one thing that really is kind of a question mark, though, is he's been making a name for himself, Jeff, and everybody. He's got some attention. You know, of the, let's say, the people in the front office of other teams, they're looking at him. So what's going to happen to him when his contract is up? Is he going to go and get paid? You know, or is he going to want to stay in a small market with San Antonio? I wonder if Pop is going to do a Boban with Bryn Forbes when that time comes. He's going to say, well, somebody's going to offer to pay me 15 or 12 million a year for the next 3 or 4 years. Pop is going to say, get your butt out of here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
I think that could happen. Yeah. The same thing for Kyle Anderson. You know, when he got the offer from Memphis, you know, he took it. And hey, money talks, Joe. Money talks.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't matter if you're an NBA player or, you know, a job that you and I have, if another company wants to offer you more money and a better position, you go for it. And I wouldn't blame Forbes if he decides to leave, if that happens. But that is something the Spurs are going to have to keep an eye on this offseason and basically what his market value will be once he hits free agency. Speaking of guards, Joe, Derek White, he's been out to start the Rodeo Road Trip. He will be back, according to Pop and DeMar DeRozan, once play resumes against Toronto. But he missed the opening games of the season due to left heel pain. He's dealing with a right heel injury right now. But again, the Spurs, from Popovich to LaMarcus to DeRozan, are saying they can't wait to get him back. They need to get White back. Joe, I get what he does. He does a little bit of everything, defensively, offensively. But do you think we're giving too much praise to just a second-year pro?
I think we are in some aspects, because we've become accustomed to seeing him, let's say, when he started getting his rhythm. He started playing really well, you know. But when he first came back from his injury, he had one or two games where he played really well, and then he kind of fell off a little bit, and then he found himself again. You know, he kind of hit a wall, and then he found his spot within the team. He got into rhythm, he got into game shape, and he was doing an outstanding job. And now here we are prior to them hitting the Rodeo Road Trip, and we find out that he has an injured, you know, heel. He has plantar fasciitis, would be going on the first leg of the Rodeo Road Trip. We've seen the Spurs kind of missing him in that regard. So I don't think that he's going to be the quite the superstar talent that everybody's already, let's say, thrusting upon him. I think he still needs a little bit of development. I'm not saying that he won't be at some juncture in the future, but I'm just saying right now he still needs some time to develop, and he's moving along really nicely. But we still have to leave some room open for growth. You know, let's not jump on that bandwagon too soon. Let's give him his props. He's done an outstanding job, but at that same time, let's come down to earth and say, look, he still needs some seasoning. That's all I'm saying, and I'm sure people are going to come after me on Twitter and get mad because I'm speaking the truth.
They always do, Joe.
You know, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you in the sense of I think from the outside looking in, obviously we're not in Spurs silver and black. You know, say what you will about Popovich saying they need to get White back, and DeRozan saying, you know, he can't wait till White gets back. And I think there's a difference in importance and then giving too much hype. I think he is important to the Spurs simply because he is their lone point guard. That's it. DeJounte Murray's out. He's hurt.
And he's Bryn a solid Forbes point guard. He's a solid point guard.
Yeah, Bryn Forbes is not a point guard. Patty Mills is not a point guard. Lonnie Walker is too soon for him. He's just a rookie. And he doesn't even play the point guard spot. Same thing for Bellinelli and DeMar DeRozan. They're not point guards. So, yes, the Spurs are missing a point guard. And he is their best point guard they have right now. Popovich even said after the Memphis win before the break, saying the team is discombobulated without their starting point guard, which is Derek White. So there is importance, and then there's overhype. I think fans should note that he is important for the Spurs, but let's not call him the next coming of Steve Nash or, you know, you mentioned Tony Parker or Chris Paul. He's not there yet. The stats, you know, he's doing great this season. He had a career best 26 points against Brooklyn back in January 31st. He had six steals versus Denver on December 28th. He's been dealing with a foot injury, but when he comes back, you know, he's playing great. So I think he is important for the Spurs because he is a point guard and he's a big point guard and he is arguably their best defender. But as you mentioned, there's still a lot more room for growth. His outside shot needs help. There's sometimes I think he forces plays. Once things get heated, as far as the stretch run is concerned, and they have to go against a Thunder or a Rockets or a team basically that's looking to push into the postseason, and they have quality guards, can he handle that? So far, so good, but I think we need to still temper our expectations and not anoint him the next best coming of the Spurs' legendary point guards.
Let's put it like this, Jeff. Let's say, do Spurs fans, are they really delusional? And do they believe that when DeJounte Murray comes back, he's going to be on the bench? Or is he going to be starting and Derek White is going to be coming off the bench? What I'm saying is...
White's going to be off the bench, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like if you don't believe that Derek White is better than DeJounte, then don't appoint him as that NBA All-Star. You know, that's all I'm saying. I know they're going to get mad and come at me, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, when aren't Spurs fans coming at you, Joe? Seriously.
Oh, yeah, they come at me all the time. But then, you know, I come out with these takes and they're like, oh, that's a horrible take, or you don't know what you're talking about. And then what happens about a month later or 2 weeks later? They're saying the same exact thing that they were coming at me for. So, like,
but of course, they don't give you the props for that.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I'm not all about that, you know. But if you're going to come at me and then you come and say the same thing that I just finished saying a week or two from now, yeah. I'm not going to come at you and point you out, but I'm just going to say, oh, that's interesting.
Well, look, I'm not here to sit and bash White. I'm not at all. He is important for San Antonio this season. But I think I need to see more a bigger body of work from him. He tore up the G League, but that is the G League. He tore up the Summer League, but that is the Summer League. And he's doing good for the Spurs and the NBA. I need to see a wider sample size. I need to see a bigger body of work. And I think we will see that once play resumes versus Toronto this Friday. We'll see how he handles that type of pressure. Remember, he has to come back from injury. You know, he's going to have to get his game legs back, get back in rhythm. The Spurs are going to welcome him with open arms. They're going to make him feel comfortable because they need him. But let's just pump the brakes a bit before we, as Joe and I are saying, anoint him the next next Magic Johnson or the next Tony Parker. That's still far and away from. We still need to see how he can sustain himself on the court. Can he stay healthy? That's been an issue this season. And can he continue to develop aspects of his game? He's young. Sky's the limit. Hopefully he'll get there. All right, so Joe and I, we're going to take our final break. We get back, we can put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, how's everything going over there at Two Shots?
Oh, it's going good. Moving along quite nicely, you know. People are liking the content, so we couldn't be more thrilled about that.
Yeah, and you not only y'all cover Spurs, y'all do the AAF, Commanders, y'all do entertainment. Y'all do a bunch of little things.
Yeah, we're doing, you know, I just finished doing a movie review of a movie that just came out in theaters, so you might want to check that out. And then we do a little bit of wrestling talk, Major League Baseball talk, you know, football talk, and even the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. We have a podcast that we're collaborating with one of our good friends. So it's all good. We got some things coming through the pipeline, and I think it's going to be a little bit of it's diversity is what it is. And I think people like
it. All right. Well, I'm pretty sure you're also going to be rushing to the stores to get Kawhi Leonard's New Balance shoes, right? Because just loved them, Joe.
No, man, that font's got to go, man. I don't know. The only
thing
those
shoes were, they put a period at the end of the name.
Yeah, the only thing that those shoes were missing were the soles. I was hoping that they would make them, like the, you know how they put those tennis balls in the bottom of walkers? All they needed was the sole to resemble those little tennis balls. And you got old man shoes, man. I'm sorry. Those things were ugly.
It looks like Kawhi Leonard's New Balance signature shoe did not go over well with former Spurs fans. Then again, there was a little bit of animosity to him. But if you have not seen him, just Google it. Seriously, I just can't believe they put a period at the end of his name.
Yeah,
that's just ridiculous. And then
where was their editor? Where was the editor, Jeff?
And it looks like they just slapped a bunch of stickers on the shoe.
Yeah, it was poor taste.
Yeah, it looked like basically something out of something I wore back when I was kindergarten. I mean, it literally looked like the 80s style. And even if it was going for an 80s look, which is cool, they could have done a lot better.
I agree, man. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty. But all Spurs fans were just loving it because they love to see him fall on his face. Basically, Spurs fans are still salty over the way he left San Antonio. All right, so Joe and I, we're done talking. We want to hear about things from you. What do you think about San Antonio Spurs? What has been your biggest surprise in the first leg of the regular season? What about Derek White? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, we're overhyping him a bit right now? You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. And Joe's going to tell you how to get a hold of him to talk everything from Spurs to Commanders to entertainment news, some Marvel, DC, everything. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, you can find us at Two Shots Podcast, you know, and it's all spelled out, TWOSHOTS Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And you can also check us out in our family of podcasters over at the Two Shots Podcast Network. And that's available on the internet at twoshotssa.com.
There you go. Give Joe a follow. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.